Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm sure Pastor Chris has shared this before, but the one thing that came to mind as you shared, as he sang, was the background of that song. The hymn was written after traumatic events in Stafford life. Horatio Spafford, the first two, the death of his four-year-old son in the Great Chicago Fire in 1871, which ruined him financially. Then, due to the economic downturn, he sent his family ahead on the SS Bill to Hartford. In a late change of plan, he sent his family ahead, and on their travel across the ocean, the ship sank in a storm. So while he was traveling across the ocean to go to their funeral, he passed this spot where the ship sank. And in those moments, he penned the words to that song. And that came to my mind, and I think it's important that it kind of changes the whole picture. When we think about what Spafford was saying and what the Lord was putting on his heart in that moment, I think it kind of changes the whole mind frame of the song. So, that being said, what a blessing it is for us to be able to gather together. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful for your hearts for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm thankful for your testimonies. I'm thankful for your children that continue to share the gospel far beyond what they even can understand. It's been a blessing to walk through life and ministry with you all over the last year. Being able to reach up, reach in, and reach out with my New Hope Bible Church family. Sorry, I'll pull it together. So the other day, I got home from a very long day at work, starting with a 5-hour shift at the YMCA, then spending a few hours here working at the church, then going over to Bill's house and helping him with a couple things around his house, and then coming back to the youth group. I got home, sat down, plugged my phone in, gave it a couple minutes, placed a call. In the middle of the call, my phone died. I said, "What's going on?" Put my phone in. I done all the right things. I didn't know. I thought my phone might have died. So in frustration, I threw it across the coffee table. It slid right off the coffee table. I realized that I had forgotten the most important thing. To plug the outlet into the wall. So while I had done everything right, forgot the most important step. To plug it into the outlet, the sustainer, the provider. So through this very trivial and very imperfect illustration, the instance kept coming to my mind as I prepped for the sermon. I had done everything right. I had connected to the, but I hadn't connected it to the power supply, the sustainer. And without it, the effort to charge my phone was both futile and fruitless. So think about this for a second. Does your life ever echo the very same predicament? Doing all the right things, being a good person, seeking to see good virtues come from throughout your life, without truly walking with the Holy Spirit? Because being completely honest with you, I see this in my own life. Whether it's pride, complacency, busyness, laziness, I neglect to get my priorities in the right place. Guys, I hope the Lord throughout this service and throughout the week and throughout the times to come, that you begin to realize the ways that you can walk deeper in your life with Christ, as he's shown me throughout this last week. The text that we'll be sitting with today, for the most part, is John 15:11. And it says, this is from the Gospel of John, it's been Jesus talking here, and it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears more fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch that bears fruit for itself, as the branch cannot bear more fruit, for unless itself abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch. He dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. The word of our Lord. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come before my church family and share your word. I thank you for each and every heart that was here this morning or in the early service. I thank you for each and every heart that's here in this service, God. I thank you for the opportunities that they have throughout their week to be a light for you. I just ask that you continue to highlight the ways in our own lives that we can grow deeper and deeper in our walk with you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you give me a mouth to speak, to give them ears to listen and hearts to apply. God, I just ask that you continue to be with us throughout all these things. In Jesus' name. So one of the neatest things about this part of the country is the extreme blending of the industrial lifestyle and the agricultural way of life. Both here in York and in Lancaster, there is such a neat marrying of rural farm life and industry and urbanization. So, with that being said, let me see a show of hands of how many of you here today enjoyed a farm, garden, or at least maintain your yard. So, how many of you enjoyed a farm, garden, or at least maintain your yard? All right. That being said, how many of you do it just because you have to? All right. So I think there's enough experience in here to get us where we're headed. So throughout the week of my prep, I came across this excerpt from the book God the Holy Spirit by D.M. Lloyd Jones, and I wrestled with how I wanted to convey this, how I wanted to share this. But I think it's best done if I read you the excerpt. So bear with me and try to hear where we're going here. And then, Lloyd Jones explains this way. I pass on to you what I, at any rate, regard as the best illustration that I have come across. It is an illustration that itself is suggested in Scripture itself, and that it is the best of the whole process of grafting. You may be anxious, for instance, to grow a certain type of pear. Now a way, which is this often done, you're given a graft, a shoot, a variety you like. Then you take the common wild pear tree that is planted and hack into it. And into that wound that you've made, you put this shoot, this sprout. Then you bind them together, and eventually you have this wonderful pear tree, producing nothing but your chosen variety of pear. But in the meantime, you have many things to do. You do not simply leave it at that. What happens is that the strength and power, as it were, the life and the sap that comes through the wild pear tree will enter into this shoot and eventually produce fruit. So you have to lop these off the natural branches. You have to cut them, prune them down. And if you do that right, at a time will arrive when the tree will produce this wonderful type of pear that you're anxious to grow. You see, at first it may seem like you have two natures in one tree. But if you prune off the old, the new will gradually master the whole, and you will eventually have a pear tree which is producing the type of fruit you want. Now, that seems to me, incomparably, the best illustration that has ever been used with regard to this matter. You are putting new life in, so that at one stage you have gotten one tree, but with two natures, the cultivated nature, and the wild nature. Yes, but if so, by pruning off these wild branches, you see that their strength of the tree is only allowed to go into the grafted branch. Not only will that strengthen, would that be strengthened and bear fruit, it will gradually conquer and master the other. It seems to have a power to send its life down into the old until eventually you have the excellent pear tree that you desire at the very beginning. So when we hear these words, we hear what Lloyd-Jones is explaining. He's explaining the process of regeneration, the process of at salvation, after salvation. There's this process of progressive sanctification, this process of regeneration, being made new into Jesus Christ, into the image of Jesus Christ. I mean, not Jesus Christ, but into the image of Jesus Christ. And so when we see this, it changes our perspective of our faith, of our salvation. It's no longer just a momentary decision that can be forgotten about. But instead, it's a relationship. It's a relationship that cannot simply be forgotten about. And Jesus calls us to abide in him. Jesus Christ continues to prune off the old aspects of our life, sanctifying us in his image, so that we will bear his fruit moving forward. So, this word, abide, menos in Greek, is a present imperative that requires abiding in Jesus Christ. To not only be a one-time conscious decision, but it requires to be a conscious decision. But a commitment to walk forward with Jesus Christ in sincere love and dependence every day. So, menos means, all these synonyms go back into what the original meaning of menos is. Is to remain, to stay, to stand fast, to dwell, to continue, to wait, to last, to endure, and to be permanent. Guys, if you notice, all these synonyms are action verbs. They are to be verbs. So for them to be anything, they have to be done. The words that require present function, they require action. And so, let's step back for a second. Let's think back to last week. Pastor Chris talked about the priorities that we lay out in our own lives. If someone were to ask us what our priorities were, what would we say? We would like to say it's God, our families, church. God, our families, our friends. But how many times in reality do our priorities get mixed up? How many times does it become work, sports, families, friends, church? Guys, this is something that I've seen in my own life far too often. We must remember that abiding in Jesus Christ is not only a simple decision that can be that allows Jesus Christ to fall somewhere on this ladder. If Jesus Christ has to be the first. He has to be number one. And so as we strive as a church to accomplish the mission of reaching up, reaching in and reaching out, we have to be walking with Jesus in prayer, worship, biblical teaching, application, and equipping. And so we have to be steadfast and abiding in it. So an important thing that I want to note here is that though every believer through faith in Jesus Christ does abide with Jesus forever and will abide with Jesus forever, yet we're called to actively seek a relationship with Jesus Christ. To seek refuge and sustenance in him. So, how do we do this? How do we abide in Christ? So as we continue to look at what it means to abide, we need to also take a look at exactly how we do this. We must remember that in abiding with Jesus Christ, it's not something that can be, that has to be this daunting, complicated formula for us to improve our faith. Because for many Christians, and even non-Christians, when they look at the Christian faith, these things are things that they would say Christians do. In John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you." So the first step that we see here towards abiding in him is a focus on his word. We should desire deeper spiritual food. As Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So today, we're blessed with an opportunity, a unique opportunity, the one that has never been had before. We don't have to go into the village and listen to the one priest that can understand Latin and communicate the Bible to us. We don't have to be afraid of the government knocking down our door and taking us to a concentration camp because we own a physical copy of the Bible, like some people do in the world today. But instead, many of us have Bibles laced throughout our house. We have Bibles, we have Bibles on every coffee table, every lampstand. And many of us have Bibles on our phones that we carry with us all the time. We really don't have an excuse for not abiding in his word. So, going back to the concept of busyness, of distraction, of laziness, and how this applies to us in our understanding and abiding in his word, well, if you look at Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." The scripture, the word of God, is not a burden. It's not something that weighs us down even more. It's something that lifts us up, something that sustains us, something that provides for us, something that pushes us forward. So as we reach up to Jesus, he pulls us up, and through our daily life, out of the burden that we often face in the stresses of life. So through abiding with him, we see, abiding in his word, we see this provision that Jesus Christ continues to give. And then in John 15:9, Jesus continues saying, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And so, through abiding in his love, we are able to rest in the grace that is only found through Jesus Christ. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have the ability to gaze upon the significance of the greatest sacrifice that has ever been made. Jesus took the weight of the world, the sins of the world, so that we may abide with him. We must always remember this. We must keep this in the forefront of our minds, because through the love of Jesus Christ, that's how we have any room for growth, for sanctification, becoming more like him. And so through this pruning process that Jesus talks about, we must submit ourselves to him. We must go to him, desire him to prune away the sinful natures, sinful aspects of our life, to make us more and more into his image. And that's what makes this analogy so great. And this picture of Jesus Christ continually sanctifying us, it only continues throughout the New Testament. In Galatians 5, we see a very similar picture painted by the Apostle Paul, as he explains the signs of a Christian's walk of faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, in verse 5:19, says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and these things like these, of which I forewarn you. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So guys, it's important that we realize through God's planting, through God's nurture, through God's protection, Through God's pruning,
we are made to bear his image. And that image is his fruit. These things, these things that we often are labeled as virtues, or things just to, you know, good rules to live by.
It's good to be good. It's good to be peaceful. It's good to provide. You give, be generous.
These things are fruitless. They're inherently fruitless without the provision of Jesus Christ. And so we must be aware, self-aware. We must be able to realize that through his word and through him and prayer in him, that that's how we get to this fruit. That's how we get to bear his true fruit and not just heartless virtues of good human standing. So earlier this week, I read a quote by Roger Palms that explains this idea very well. Palms says, "Life in Christ is about abiding, all about abiding. It is not the fruit producing that matters, it's the abiding. The producing comes from the vine, the branches are only fruit bearers. To be an abiding branch is to be a faithful branch. The fruit will come. And the fruit that is born, whether it is a large fruit or small fruit, abundant or not so, it is his doing. Our role is to be attached to the vine, to fit into place, to abide." So, I thought this summed it up very well. That the idea that the fruit that is seen through our being plugged in with the Holy Spirit, through God, is not our own doing. It can only happen through God's work in our life. And so, when I was told that I'd be preaching on the reaching up part of our mission here at New Hope Bible Church, it didn't take much discussion with Pastor Chris for us to end up here, taking a look at what it means to abide in him. Because as Christians, if we're refraining from actively reaching up towards God through our actions, decisions, our desires, we aren't truly abiding in him. These two things go hand in hand. We can't abide without reaching towards him. I just want to leave you guys with a few thoughts, because it's so important that as a church body, there is a focus on reaching up towards him, now as much as ever. And we've seen it throughout some of the children here at church. We've seen it throughout some of the testimonies that we've been able to share about God providing it through us and sharing his word in the community. And that's what our mission is. Our mission is to become well-equipped Christians that can take the word of God out into our communities and share his love, whether it's through our words or our actions. So for us to best exhibit the character of God throughout our lives, we have to abide with him. We have to seek his imprinting upon our lives. We have to be actively reaching up towards our Abba, our Almighty God. I mean, it's really not an option. For us to accomplish the purpose of New Hope Bible Church, for us to exalt God, equip believers, and evangelize unbelievers, and for us to be successful in our mission to reach up, reaching out, we have to pursue spiritual growth. We have to abide with Jesus Christ on an individual level, in a family level, and a corporate level in the church. There really is no room for us to be lukewarm Christians. Because as we seek to be abiding, as we seek to bear fruit in our relationships with God, that only comes with living with the Word of God and living with Jesus and through his family. It's important that we heed the Jesus' words in the letter to the church of Laodicea, found in Revelation. We have to be hot or cold, as lukewarm water serves no purpose. See, for the Laodiceans, this symbol was something that was very, very real for them. The city only received hot water through a 5-mile series of wooden tunnels. And so by the time that the water reached the city, the water would be lukewarm. It would be kind of nasty. It didn't serve a purpose. Because hot water served the purpose of bathing, it served the purpose of cooking, it served the purposes of cleaning. But when it was lukewarm, it was nasty. And then it really wasn't cold. It wasn't cold and refreshing either. And Jesus shares that it's important for us to be hot or cold, because if we're lukewarm, we serve no purpose. So just like my story about my phone, even though I went through all my right intentions of plugging it in, of plugging it into making sure that it was good to go, there was a disconnect. Just like this water, there's a disconnect from the source of heat. And so in the end, it's lukewarm and it serves no purpose. So for us to abide in Him, we have to be all in. We have to be sold out. We have to be devout. We have to be hot or cold, full of refreshment or full of freshness. We have to be plugged in Christians. Mm-hmm. Remaining with Him throughout our daily life is the only source of that sustenance. It's important that we remain aware of our sinful tendencies to be okay with just being okay. We must reach up to the one true supplier and sustainer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, I come before You, surrendering my heart, my life to You. I pray that You continue to shape us into Your own image, that You continue to prune away our sinful ways, and that we serve as true reflections of Your grace and mercy to those around us. Please do a work through our ministry here at New Hope Bible Church. Please continue to equip our people to share Your gospel with the people that are in their lives, whether through their actions, their testimony, their witness, verbal witness. God, help us accomplish our mission of reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out to the best of our abilities. In Jesus' name.